In the introit of today's Mass, the choir chanted the words of St. Paul, "But it behooves us to glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have been saved and set free." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. The exaltation of the Holy Cross. This world exalts itself, celebrates the advance of evolutionary science or culture or sport, the bloody march of Western-style democracy, in quotation marks, in the Middle East, and all of the much-vaunted triumphs of technology and such military victories as are managed today. But the Church exalts the cross, which never changes down through the course of the centuries and is our true token of triumph. And the farther the world falls from this true gold standard, the cheaper, the more false and phony are all of its claims of triumph or of victory. Have you noticed of late in this modern age that the Church's enemies are not what they used to be? I include in this category all of those as well who are indifferent to Catholic truth in their public policies, to Christ the King, and those especially who are covertly opposed to the cross of Christ. Study the list. Go over this autumn the lives of those who reign over us in this world, or who are jockeying in position to be able to do so, to take their appointed turn. They are all of them small men, really, men of little learning and less morality or accomplishment. As is the custom with kings, adulterers, a great group of them, some wannabe revolutionaries of a communist tilt, poor actors who can barely read their lines, and bought men. The same may be said of the open enemies and declared foes, the Church and the cross of Christ. Now, time was when Satan at least did us the honor of raising up great men to persecute the Church. But now that, as Our Lady told us at La Salette, now that the Church is eclipsed, probably the devil thinks that, well, the B team is good enough. But in the old days of great enemies, some of these were men, and men who were great enough to be able to admit their defeat before dying. "Thou hast conquered, Galilean." I think of Napoleon in this context. Certainly one of the greatest military geniuses of history, a man who started how many wars and shed the blood of how many tens of thousands of innocent throughout Europe in the early 19th century. A man who shed with his own hand the blood of priests during the French Revolution and dared afterwards to kidnap the Pope and hold him prisoner, thinking he could bend a real vicar of Christ, Pius VII, to his will as he kept him imprisoned in some Parisian palace. But he did not succeed. And finally, all of his military strategy did him no good. He was defeated. He went, Napoleon did as a boy, to Catholic schools. And like some schoolboys who are from so-so Catholic families, at some point he started to grow skeptical. He secretly laughed at what the priests were teaching him, and he fell into the habit of bad confessions and sacrilegious holy communions. But he always remembered what he had been taught, even though he had laughed at it. And finally, when he was defeated and the English put him on that little island of Elba, he acknowledged that he, the great Napoleon, had been conquered by the crucified. And almost in amazement, but with utter honesty and astonishing insight, he wrote this. I must read it to you. Christ expected success through his death. This absurd promise, this promise by a wretched, crucified malefactor, has been literally fulfilled. And the manner of its fulfillment, he said, is perhaps even greater than the promise itself. It was neither the work of a single day, he writes as a general, nor a decisive battle that decided the issue. Then these words, pay attention to them, they're significant. I do not see any army, but some mysterious, energizing power, and a few men scattered here and there in all the quarters of the world, with no other rallying point except a common faith in the mystery of the cross. What a strange symbol, he said. The very instrument of torture of the God-man. It is with this that his disciples are armed. They carry the cross throughout the world as a sign of their faith, like a burning flame that spreads from one place to another. Can you imagine a dead person being able to make such conquests, who has soldiers without pay, without hope of reward in this world, who yet is able to inspire them with a desire to persevere and suffer all kinds of privation? Can you imagine? That is your job as you meditate the fifth sorrowful mystery, the crucifixion of our Lord. Can you imagine? That is your job as you assist at the crucifixion this morning on the Feast of the Cross's exaltation, that is to say, as you assist at the sacrifice of the altar. Can you imagine, as you survey the scene of the world in the light of Christ's bright cross? Can you imagine? Well, are you one of his soldiers without pay? You are, if you are one of those few people scattered, Napoleon says, here and there, with no rallying point except a common faith, the Catholic faith, in the mystery of the cross. What prophetic words are these to describe our day? Don't you wish that you could live up to them? Fulsome praise comes to us from one of the church's greatest foes, but who died because, after all, he was a great man, having confessed his sins and reconciled to the Catholic Church with the sacraments. The crucifix is everywhere in your life, or it should be, and the cross certainly is. It is throughout your home, in more than one room, no doubt, maybe in your car. It is on your person at the end of your rosary that you carry in pocket or purse. It is prominent in our church. And the sign of the cross, we use it daily to mark our meals and ourselves getting up and going to bed and starting and ending our prayers. And each time we do so, we know something of its power as it does banish the devil. The cross is everywhere. But how do you look at the crucifix? Do you see it so often that you see it not? I think it's for that reason that we veil it in purple at Passiontide and unveil it solemnly 2 weeks later on Good Friday. But if only you could look at the cross in a personal way. A sacred symbol, yes, which you would fight to maintain at the price of your life. You think of those Christians in the East, in the Orient, in Japan or China, who were told to walk, to trample upon the cross. And if they would not do so, they would be slowly roasted to death over hours. And how many hundreds died as brave martyrs of the crucifix. Or here in the West, all of the initiates of the secret societies, they too are told to trample upon the cross. Those who refuse to are praised, but go no higher in their ranks. And those who do so willingly are promoted in the Masonic lodges and receive one day the reward of their sacrilege. Think of the cross of Christ. How many times over the last 40 years by apostate Catholics has it been carried out of churches and away from classrooms and hospital rooms and replaced sometimes by images so ugly? I think of the twisted lizard that was carried by John Paul II, that you couldn't even bear to gaze upon it in prayer. But I want you as well today to think of what the cross means to you, not what they did or what you would do, but what the cross means to you today. You can experience triumph and a real victory, protection from the power of Satan. You can feel its exaltation if only you could see the cross as for the first time. Ask the Holy Ghost today to clean the sleep out of your eyes and to open them bright and wide so that you can know the victory the cross brings. Salvation, healing by means of the sacraments, but also by means of even the shortest of prayers or a quick little tiny sign of the cross. And this so that you may be one of those soldiers of the cross scattered throughout the world and offer, don't be ashamed, offer the world its only hope so that tomorrow when everybody else laughs, you will speak up for Christ, and everybody else is buying into the common fallacies which the fools are fed by the initiates of the lodges. You will dare to speak the truth and offer the only hope it has to this wretched world of ours, dead, dreaming in its own illusions unto destruction. But there is more for your own life, for all of those headaches and some heartaches too, for all of your sins and for all of your sighs and all of your sadness and sickness. His holy cross is your solution. He nailed your sins to the wood of the cross, and he wants you to take just these things which separate you from Christ crucified every day and nail them to the cross. And then your grumbling would turn to wonder, and we would rethink that hasty retreat we usually beat when challenged as Catholics to carry our cross. That defeat we who are so easily discouraged draw out of the jaws of the victory. How should we pray the fifth sorrowful mystery? Do it as St. Gertrude did, with crucifix in hand some days, and ask Our Lady to make you feel all that our Lord suffered for you. So perfectly did she pray that our Lord gave her a great reward. One day she had been praying for long hours, and as was her custom, she said goodnight to our Lord, and she said, "Dear Lord, I've got to get some rest. I'm exhausted from all of this prayer." And our Lord, to thank her, reached out his right arm from the crucifix and put it over her shoulder for an instant. And then he promised her that wherever a relic of the true cross is adored, she would receive part of the reward in her soul until the end of time, because she loved the cross and gloried in it. Ask St. Gertrude to help you to know the victory of the cross in your own personal life, that the cross is more than an article in the creed or an artifact on the church wall. Embrace our Lord's cross, and with it the worldwide conquest which it has come to claim. Remember today, it was an enemy of ours who pointed you out. Remember today the victory that you are meant to gain as one of the soldiers of Christ crucified. But there is no army, and the church is eclipsed. You are just one of the few scattered here and there. Don't walk away anymore. Don't be ashamed of the cross. Remember, our rallying point is our Catholic faith in it. This is its mystery. And through you, someone else too is meant to know its triumph, the exaltation of the Holy Cross. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.